today going to answer two questions of a similar nature, but from different devotees in different places. One of them is from Bhakta Zoltan Kugler. He writes in English as follows. He says he needs a quick answer to this question, so we'll try to do our best. I have a difficulty in my spiritual life. Is it a problem if the mood of the Diksha Guru is different from the mood of his aspiring disciple? Here the real question is, what does this word mood mean in terms of a aspiring disciple, a conditioned soul? In the spiritual sense, mood or bhava may mean that the spiritual master is a different rasa than his disciple. Maybe one is in Madhurya Ras, the other one is in conjugal Ras. If the disciple is in the conjugal and the guru is in the Sakya Ras, then friendly Ras, then a Diksha Guru will have to give assistance and guidance at the advanced stages. But is that the problem? I don't think that's the problem right at the present state. Another is that if the spiritual master is a regulated devotee and the disciple is a spontaneous devotee, then again, Shiksha Guru will be needed. There's still no obstacle because Guru Krishna Prasadi by Krishna always makes arrangements to resolve any type of such conflict in terms of Guru Tattva. However, I doubt that this is the problem that we're dealing with. We're not talking about the question of liberated souls, the liberated disciple and the liberated spiritual master, but they're talking about an aspiring disciple, a conditioned soul. So in this sense, I take the word mood to actually mean karma. How compatible am I with my spiritual master karmically? How well do we communicate? How well does he understand me? How much time does he give me? How much do I see him? Here the word mood is also relevant. It's not an irrelevant issue. It's not irrelevant as long as it affects the faith and the advancement of the disciple. Our business is to facilitate people going forward in Krishna consciousness. And that's why we have a trial period between guru and disciple, which in ISKCON law is a minimum of 6 months, but sometimes it may be longer in other places. And trial period doesn't mean just a preparatory period. Trial period means just that. If it doesn't work, then you make some other arrangement. If it doesn't work from the perspective of the disciple or the perspective of the guru, and there's no conflict, there's no offense involved. So a disciple may find that just somehow or another this combination or the my chemistry with spiritual master is a disturbance to my mind. It may not be a Krishna conscious appraisal in point of view, but that doesn't matter in my point of view, at least talking as a principal. Other senior devotees may observe things and they may have their own opinion in relationship to a specific person and specific incidents. But generally, I would say that the important thing is for a devotee to have unflinching faith in his guru. And if there's something that obstructs that unflinching faith, then they should discuss it together, and the disciple may tell the spiritual master that I think, and they may both come to that natural conclusion that it may be best that I accept someone else as my spiritual master. And conversely, of course, the spiritual master also has that right. He may see that he's not the right person. Perhaps the disciple is a grihastha with a lot of such problems, and the spiritual master doesn't really want to involve himself with those things, and arrangements are such that he sees that it's better for the disciple to accept a grihastha guru. So, yes, it's if the mood is too incompatible and not constructive for building faith and devotion and a good service attitude, then discuss it and move on. And the other question came from Belarus, from Bhaktin Nina, and it's quite long, so I'm not going to read it in detail, but basically she's talking now about a pujari who's come, who finds that the mood of the Gornitai deities where she's serving now in Belarus is different from the mood of the Gornitai deities that she came from elsewhere. And once again, I'll say that certainly for transcendentalists, this deals with moods which may talk about different types of ecstasies that they perceive in their relationship with a deity, or in relationship to the deity itself manifesting a certain type of energy in a certain place according to their mission. For instance, in Mayapur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna manifests as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, full of mercy, and Vrindavan, he's there full of sweetness, dominant by sweetness. So in different geographical places, deities, and I think in a worldwide, in a community of devotees that travels worldwide, devotees have experience of deities, how they appear different, how they have a different mood in different places. But that's a detail. That should certainly not affect any pujari's service. Why not? Because our business is to serve Krishna, whether we're conditioned or liberated. We're Krishna's servants, whatever his mood. Srimati Radharani says, Adarshanam marmahatam karotu vatata bhavivadatu lampato matpranatas tu saivanapara. He says, you're my master. I'm your servant. Prahlad Maharaj says, there's no need for anything or nothing else other than that. There's no need for any other type of relationship. So here's the Lord in the form of his deity. We serve him. Well, what difference does it make what his mood is? He wants offering. He wants bhakti. He wants love. And those things should be offered to them. And if we offer those, then we'll really be drawn in to a rewarding mood of relationship with him, rather than his conditioned souls trying to speculate on whether the Lord is like this or the Lord is like that. So that's our relationship with Krishna, service, and we should serve him under all circumstances and leave the rest up to him. Hare Krishna.